Buongiorno, my name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
Hello, this is Jordan Rich, friend of Lauren's, also friend of Reno's. It's great to see Reno back for the podcast. He's so shy, and he's got a beautiful beard, just like me.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Hi, Reno. Great to see you, my friend. The topic of how fresh everything is from farm to table, and we talk about this a lot, but we thought we'd focus on this today, Lauren and Reno, because you guys have experience every day with this, going to particular farmers and going to particular markets that are just so natural and so real. Tell me a little bit about one of your favorites. This gentleman also happens to be a biologist, which makes him kind of unique. Lauren?
Hi, Jordan. Yeah. Yes. Although we have a small garden, we're really busy, so this year it's even a little bit smaller, but we have a beautiful herb garden with sage, with marjoram, with basil, the red chili peppers, the little small ones. But we often go to Dato Nino. He's our farmer friend in the hills on the way to Sorrento. He's a biologist, and he has a little wooden shack where he has everything, and things change day to day because what he grows is what he sells.
You said that you were there yesterday, I think, and there wasn't much there because of the time of day, right?
We decided to stop to see him on the way back from a trip to Pompeii, and he was wiped out of everything. He had his lemons, so we bought this big bowl of beautiful Sfusato lemons. And we bought these tomatoes that are really beautiful, lots of different varieties.
Trust me, folks, they're as red and delicious looking as you can imagine.
So these are called
San Marzano.
Sorrentino, San Marzano. Mm. These are the little cherry tomatoes. And these are a version that he ended up growing that are a cross between a yellow tomato and a red cherry tomato. They're very sweet. They look like a tangerine color. So we brought some of those back. And then these are the Vesuvianos here. They're very sweet too. These are usually used in a tomato salad, or you put them in a pan with a little olive oil water. And as they cook, you can smash them with a fork. These are my favorite, the Sorrentino. And these are usually served with the Caprese salad. They're all different sizes because they're grown organically, so they're not equal. They're not perfect, and you'll see the tops have a little green on them. That's the variety of the tomato. Mm.
Yeah, you mentioned he's a biologist. I mentioned it as well. And the fact that he's able to create all natural hybrids of delicious fruits and vegetables must make it such a treat to visit him. Wow. Let's talk a little bit about why people come back from Italy and say, you know, from the wine to the pasta, I felt great. I didn't feel overstuffed. I felt satisfied, and I didn't have the effects or the after effects that I often get in the U.S. Let's talk a little bit about that. Why is that?
Well, Italians really cook in the rhythm of the seasons. So if you ask, and I did it once when I was a new here, strawberries in June, you just won't find them. Right now it's peaches, white peaches, yellow peaches, the pink peaches, the green plums, the dark purple plums, apples are starting to come, as well as pears. They're not the fall varieties. That's what's in right now. Lots of figs, melons, yellow melons, the orange melons, the cantaloupes, watermelon.
And they're all in season, and you'll see them prepared a different way. Another, squash flowers are in, and everyone loves squash flowers. They're made, you know, a variety of ways. Here, they're traditionally stuffed with a blend of ricotta, a little mozzarella, maybe some smoked mozzarella. And the other day we had them where the chef chopped up arugula inside, so there was a little bit of a bite to them. And those are very popular. Squash flowers can also be cooked in a frittata or gently turned into a hot pasta. You wouldn't cook the flour in the pasta because they're so delicate. But as you take the pasta out of the water and drizzle a little olive oil, you would just mix the torn petals into the pasta, and they're really delicious.
Seasonal cuisine, seasonal cooking, and seasonal gathering of food is what we're talking about. Does this apply also to bread and pasta and things like that?
It does. We, this weekend, went to Capri for a little lunch at our friends, and I had tortini with linguine. Tortini is a mollusk fish that a red long. It looks like sort of a squid calamari, but it's not. It's very sweet. And they cut it up small and they slow cook it in a red tomato sauce. And it's really delicious. We do not have that breed in America. Reno, tell them about what you had at Los Meralda.
I forget.
Pasta and vongola.
How could you forget that? It's so good.
We eat so many times the
linguine
vongole.
I happen to be a big fan of that myself. Okay, continue.
And of course, the clams are very small. They're not like the clams you'd find in Rhode Island or on the shores. Very small, and they have a thin shell.
But the pasta, we've talked about this in the past on previous podcasts, Lauren and Reno. The wheat is so pure, and it's not filled with additives and so forth. So you're getting something that's very organic in a sense and very good for your body as well as delicious.
Exactly. Another pasta that's seasonal that Reno had at Kasai the other evening. Reno, that can you explain that?
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was a cork pasta.
A conchiglia. Conchiglia? No,
it was a cork-formed pasta with the blue lobster meat in it. It's called blue lobster because their shells look blue. It's a very sweet lobster meat, and it was cooked in a very light, simple tomato sauce, and it was topped with crushed pistachios.
I often think that Reno is in a stupor because he's so happy. He's eating the greatest food in the world. He's married to the most wonderful bride. You can't remember anything because you're just in a daze of happiness.
No, sorry. I don't know why.
Yesterday we visited our dentist in Pompeii, and we had to make a treat out of it. And we went to our good old friends, Francesco at Mellus, who we talked about. Reno, you can remember what you had yesterday.
Yes, I remember well. It was a beautiful lunch.
He had gnocchi sorrentino.
No, my sister.
Gnocchi sorrentino.
I have the tagliata, the meal with arugula and parmigiano cheese in top. Yeah, it was good. We have a baccalà.
I had the baccalà fish, which is in season now. Yeah. It was a giant piece of beautiful white fish with the skin on that they simply prepare in the oven, and it's served with a Neapolitan salad of chopped lettuce with a lychee tossed in with green peppers, very, very sliced thin. It was simply delicious. And the, the sweet and sour of the tomato, the little cherry tomatoes in with the lettuce, with the saltiness of the lychee and the pickled peppers is truly a Neapolitan salad. And the Neapolitans, like the Sicilians, cook with sweet and sour ingredients.
You mentioned going to the dentist. When people think about that here in the U.S. of A., we don't think about having a delicious lunch as part of that experience. But when you're in Italy, and I know this to be the case because I've been there, everything is an adventure food-wise. I mean, and you can turn any day into a sparkling adventure. I wanted to mention bread because you showed me a beautiful loaf of bread that you just picked up. Tell us about that.
Every time we cross the hill to go see Da Tonino, our farmer, we visit La Signora, and she has a little bread shop that's on the side of her home, no signs, no anything, no website, And she and her children prepare organic bread, round loaves, dark loaves, pizza, biscotti, in a wood-burning, they are big wood-burning ovens. They're all fired by wood. And I had bruschetta for lunch where we slice the bread thin and we just use some of our tomatoes with a little garlic and basil from our garden. And you could taste the difference. You could taste the smokiness in the bread. And of course, this bread is made with ancient grains. So it has a dense texture, which is great for holding the bruschetta. As it ages, this bread, it'll last a week without going bad, maybe more. And it becomes hard. It's great for bruschetta, and you can toast it. Or you can toast it, cut it up, and make a bread and tomato salad.
Look at the toast.
And it speaks to organic and real and home-baked with love. That's what I love about it. And I was in Tuscany, as I mentioned last time with you, Lauren, and the bread there had a certain saltiness to it. So bread in different parts of Italy, including where you guys are, Amalfi, will taste different based on where you are, correct?
Also, the water plays a big part in the bread making and pizza making. In Tuscany, they do not put salt in their bread because of the ancient salt wars that went on between the noble families and the poor people. And to this day, the Tuscans, out of respect for that, don't put salt in their bread. In the South, they put salt in their bread because it's much hotter here and people need salt in the heat. So they tend to put salt and more in the bread. Yes, everyone cooks in the rhythm of the seasons, and that's the joy of cooking and being here, going from your garden, farm to table, and bringing it back. And sometimes you go without a list because, like with Da Tonino, you never know what you'll find. Yesterday he had a big, big basket of his own chicken eggs, and the yolks are yellow, and when you open them, they don't run. They're very tight when you open them. And we brought back some fruit, some nectarines, peaches, yellow peaches, white peaches, which here in the summer, everyone slices and puts in white wine. So it's very common to, you know, the half liter brocs, they're called, with peaches and wine on the table.
Yeah. Is there one season that's longer than another, or are they equally timed for the most part because of the climate?
I think they're pretty much equally timed, would you say so, Reno? Right now, everybody will be going into harvesting their tomatoes, and it's a tradition. Everybody from little babies all the way up, everyone gets in on the washing and the cooking of the tomatoes, and then they put it through the sieve to take away the seeds and the skins, and they bottle it. They bottle it in sterilized, previously used recycled wine bottles, beer bottles, anything that's glass that's been highly sterilized. Some people put garlic and basil in there. Some people keep it clean and simple. And there's, you know, this competition of family recipes. I'm sure everybody saw that movie Nonna with, you know, that Nonna put a squeezed apple in her sauce to make it sweet. Some Nonnas put a pinch of sugar. Some Nonnas put a little pinch of a sweet wine. So there's lots of competition and lots of different home recipes.
Absolutely. Great movie, by the way. I wanted to ask you, of course, as well about olive oil, because we have a lot of listeners to your podcast who are olive oil fanatics. They love it, especially when it's involving Italy. Is there a particular season, or is that spaced out throughout the year as well for olive oil? It's important for me to bring this up because I know our listeners love it, and that's olive oil.
It's really the seasons that call when the olives are picked and crushed. It depends if it's a dry season, if it's a wet season. This season's been pretty dry, right, Reno? And we have olive trees in our garden. You know, they start out as little blossoms or little blossoms. They look like a caper. And then as the season moves on, they get bigger and bigger. They're picked green and they're pressed on cold stones. Our olive oil is pressed and immediately bottled, which makes it extra virgin, first cold pressed. This part where we live has that volcanic soil, so the oil has a deep, pungent taste. It's deep in a green color. All of Italy produces beautiful olive oils that are extra virgin, first cold pressed. That's sort of a rule of thumb. Never blended. However, there are different olive oil varieties that go into the making of different olive oil. For example, ours, the olives are picked by hand and then immediately pressed on cold stones. So that gives it a very low acidic level because there's no oxidation. And then the olive oil is bottled in green bottles, and the green bottles keep the sun out and it keeps it from oxidizing. Our olive oil is made with Licino, Coratura, Frantoio, and Coratino olives, bringing a hint of almond and artichokes due to the nearby orchards where they grow. So there's a little bit of cross-pollination. And it's definitely an emerald green color. Italians don't like to put anything in their olive oil, so you won't see, you know, scented olive oils, maybe a little bit of crushed garlic, but they would do it and use it in the moment. We decided to come up with a lemon olive oil where our olive oil is infused with the sfusato lemon, a rosemary olive oil, and a chili pepper olive oil. And the reason why was because our clients really wanted that flavor of Italy. And they wanted it in their home kitchen. So we created these with our farmer friend. It's bottled under Cooking Vacations. And we really did it so that they would be able to have those herbs in their kitchen. But Italians traditionally just use the extra virgin olive oil. You would never fry in olive oil. It's too heavy. Italians fry in peanut oil, which is the cleanest, and it has a, you know, a boiling point that's pretty quick, or sunflower oil. And we, you know, we travel a lot when we're here, and my favorite thing to do is bring back different olive oils from different regions. We just came back from Tuscany, and this young woman, in the footsteps of her father, it's called Baraschi, produces different kind of olive oils. They're all delicious. They're dark green, a little bit different than our olive oils here. And she produces these with different flavors that naturally sent them from the cross-pollination of the artichoke farm that's near one of her olive orchards. She has another one that's near the chamomile. She even makes a vegan olive oil for vegan people that has no animal parts or pieces used in it. And when we asked her why, she said it's not the olive oil, but even anything, a net can't be made from anything from an animal part. You know, a net, a cork, a cover. Mm. So it was very interesting. Reno and I love our olive oil. And the best way to taste it when you're doing a tasting is put it in a tiny little cup. Mm-hmm. Like a little round shot glass, and you hold it in your hand, the glass, and you cover it, and you swirl it around, and your hands have just enough heat to naturally release the oil, which makes the scent. And then you put it in your mouth with nothing else in it, and you swish it around back and forth, pushing it through your teeth. Mm-hmm. And that's the true way to do an olive oil tasting.
Sounds as impressive as a wine tasting exercise.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more exercise.
Well, this is really great. I mean, just talking about these seasonal delights gets everybody excited about coming to Italy. And of course, taking on Cooking Vacations is a great way to do it. Thank you. And Reno, the fact that you didn't remember what you ate means it was so good. It just blew your mind.
She's a strong brain. She remembers everything. I remember only the last lunch.
The last supper.
The last supper.
The last supper.
If you ask me 2 days before it, I don't know.
Well, I don't know what I had for breakfast either, so we're men of a certain type. I guess we belong in the same club. Thank you both very, very much, though, and it's great to see you again, Reno. Keep the beard. It looks terrific.
You too.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.